beginning, let's make sure we're the ones that the scripture is applying to. So, Miss Jody, I'm going to ask you to do a little something there and wake you up a little bit. Uh-oh, what is he going to ask me to do? The scripture, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are definitely words for those that have been justified through their faith in Jesus. Are we the ones that the scripture's talking to? Justified through our faith? Are we the ones that are the believers? So if you've not placed your faith in Jesus, this scripture doesn't really apply to you. Scripture doesn't really have any hold, any significance or meaning for you. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you might want to pay attention. And if you're not quite sure, let's make sure that this passage of Scripture applies to you. So that you have faith, that you have a belief, that you've made a profession. So let's just start right there. You'll repeat after me if you so desire to place your faith in Jesus. Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Justify me in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we'll go to communion. In remembrance of what Christ has done for us. This does not matter whether you're a member of our church or not. It does not matter what denomination you ascribe to, what preference you prefer in worship style. This is simply Jesus. Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Welcome to the family of God. I invite you to participate with us in communion. If I can have the gentleman come forward, please. We'll distribute. We'll just ask him if he would wait for everyone to have received, then we'll partake together. The story, gentlemen, is fairly familiar that you might, you can come forward if you would. Fairly familiar. Jesus, on the day he was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, take this and eat this, for this is my body, which is broken for you, sir. And Spencer, if you would give a word of thanksgiving. Remembrance of you, Father, in remembrance of your Son, in remembrance of the filling of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, in remembrance of the reconciliation that we have before you, that we are a redeemed people. The punishment that should have been ours was upon him, his body broken in our place. Father, what can we do but say thank you? And in remembrance, all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. So grateful and so thankful, Father. Bind us together as a body of believers, the body of Christ, that we might have meaningful impact for your kingdom, which goes way beyond this world. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Be seated. The body of Christ that was broken for you as a redeeming sacrifice, let us partake together. In a similar manner, he had taken the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, take this and drink this, for this is a cup of my blood spilled out for all mankind in the forgiveness of sins, sealing an everlasting covenant between mankind and God for our forgiveness and redemption. Gentlemen, if you would. Mr. Klein, if you would please, a word of thanks. Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son, sending him into the world to be given up for men, and knowing he'd be wounded and crucified on earth. Hallelujah, my Father, in his death is my birth. you're just being funny now. The blood of Christ for our redemption, for our forgiveness, that cleanses us and makes us righteous in his sight. Let us partake together as a body. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Father, that you thought enough of us to eliminate the penalty of our sins. Empower us by your Holy Spirit that we might be able to endure until you come again in remembrance of all he has done. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so very, very much. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Here's your first one. Peace is what it is now. Let that soak in for a bit. That's a good start. Because we recognize that not all scripture is for every body. The Holy Spirit of God needs to be present for us to be able to understand this. We should not expect those that are outside of the faith, those that are without the Holy Spirit of God, would understand scripture. Nor should we expect them to live by it. I do not expect the world to know this peace. Right? We're very familiar, most of us, with the scriptures, you know, that Jesus said, I give you a peace, right? That transcends all world's understanding. I give you a peace this world knows not of. Well, I do not expect the world to know this peace. And you will end a lot of frustration if you would grasp the idea that many people, they just do not live with biblical integrity. They don't live that way. They choose something else. They choose not to take communion. They choose not to place their faith. They choose not to believe in God. And these particular verses here in Romans chapter 4, these verses cover a lot of theological concepts. Death through Adam, life through Christ, dead to sin, alive in Christ, more than conquerors, future glory. We understand this, or at least we should begin to understand this. There's a physical domain and a spiritual domain, and often they are very much in conflict with one another. They are opposed to one another. We are the children of God. Many are not. We are growing in our maturity, because God's pretty accurate when he says, children. But we're growing in our maturity, or supposed to be. Is anybody in here growing older? Anybody at all growing older? Every single second, right? Growing older, growing older, growing older, growing older. Listen. Growing older, growing pains, right? Growing pains, physically growing pains. Growing older, deeper, wiser, more mature, spiritual growing pains. What does that look like? And the reality is we can fight, we can refuse, we can deny trying to get older, but kids grow up. You were 20, now you're 40. What happened? You were 40, now you're 60. What happened? New wrinkles, new spots, no hair. There's a lot of resistance to acceptance of what it is. There's a lot of resistance to the acceptance of what it is. And though we, through Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. And we boast in the hope, the glory of God. It is what it is now. It is what it is now. And I like the word now. Why? Well, because we're standing in the justifying work of Jesus Christ now, right now. We don't get what we deserve, mercy, now. We get what we don't deserve, grace, now. There are wonderful blessings that are poured out into your life now, power and hope and joy and love, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Shouldn't that give us some kind of a reassurance that we stand in the presence of God now? We're justified now. We have the peace that this world knows not of now. These passages are not descriptions of life after death. They're descriptions of life right now. This is how we are viewed by God, right here, right now, by faith, justified right now, forgiven right now, clean right now, at peace with God right now. Well, I don't feel forgiven. I don't feel at peace. As a matter of fact, I feel pretty worn out. I feel pretty weak. I feel pretty frazzled. I feel pretty abused. Just sitting around watching the news all day. See, folks, it's not about your flesh. It's not about how your flesh even feels. It's the condition of your soul. Because if you're looking at the world for peace, you're looking in the wrong place. You have to look at the one who gives a peace that goes beyond this world, that this world does not understand. Here you go. Change your focus, change your attitude. Change your focus, change your attitude. Listen, this is a struggle probably of every preacher. I know it's a struggle for me. I do not know how to get people to stop beating themselves up with negativity, with fear. I do not know how to stop people inputting the things into their brain that result in fear, darkness, negativity, bitterness. It's a struggle. When you preach your heart out, live like this, and you choose a different way, and you complain that it's all darkness and chaos. You hear, but do you listen? To focus not on the distractions of the world, to focus not on the pain, to focus not on the suffering, to focus not on the feelings. All I know how to say is this: what if the Word of God is really true? What if you really have mercy of God upon you right now? What if you really have the protection of God upon you right now? What if you really believe the Word of God was true and His grace was overflowing your soul right now? You change your focus, you change your attitude. What if your circumstances no longer dictated your attitude? What if you took over every circumstance spiritually? What if you prayed more and worried less? What if integrity was the way of your life? And what if feelings didn't direct your every decision? Peace with God is not something that comes from the outside. The peace of God is something that comes from within. He's filled you and given you Himself that you might walk in the peace with God. What if your attitude changed toward the people that didn't vote like you? What if your attitude changed towards the people that didn't think like you, dress like you, eat like you? What if your attitude changed towards your neighbor, towards your coworker? What if your attitude changed towards those that were outside the faith, that have not been justified by Jesus Christ? What if your attitude changed? What a beautiful study we had on Wednesday night, as a matter of fact, when I think about that. That was a really nice study because it taught us about how those that are good stewards deal with those that are not. Those that are of God deal with those that are of the darkness. To be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Trying to be godly in dealing with the ungodly. This is us living in a very secular kind of a world, where not everybody thinks like you, not everybody votes like you, and somehow we're very frustrated and lose our peace. The world has way too much influence on you, and Christ does not have enough influence on you. And here's something that'll burn your socks. Your next slide. What if life wasn't something happening to you, but an experience God wanted for you? Change your attitude. Change your focus. What if you actually tried to live it out? What if you actually tried to live all of it out? Not some of it, all of it. See, as your entire life viewed as a ministry to bring glory to God. What if it was that? Every opportunity, an opportunity to bring glory to God. Every circumstance, an opportunity to share what Christ has done for you. There would be joy to be found. Listen, there would be joy to be found in every heartache. There would be peace that could be found in every pain. There'd be joy, of course, in all the achievements and all the victories, which we give God all the glory for. And then we have a suffering and a trial. And then we go, where are you, God? I'm with you. What makes you think I've forsaken you and abandoned you? Because you went to the cross? Your whole life would be a testimony in every test of faith, as if your whole life was given over to God. And life wasn't something happening to you, but experiences God wanted for you. Change your focus, change your attitude. Listen, I do not have an identity crisis. I do not have an identity crisis. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. You were once in sin, but now I'm cleansed because I stand in the now. I was once standing in ruin. Now I'm rescued. I was once destined for death. Now I'm alive. I was once separated from God, but now I have an intimate relationship. I was once under a curse, now I'm under grace. I was once considered an unbeliever, now I'm considered a believer. I was once considered an enemy of God, and now I'm considered his friend. Is that you? That's you right now. This is accepting and receiving what he has for you right now. And I know you're getting older. Are you getting wiser? I know you're getting more wrinkles. I've gotten fatter. I know. I got more gray hairs. I know. The experience of God with you, moment by moment, minute by minute. Listen, you will walk in the glory of our sufferings. Are you kidding me? We also glory in our sufferings? What? What? I thought you were talking about peace. Yes, here's your next slide. See, it's a peace that suffering cannot take away. I want that now. Lord, I need that now. A peace that frustration can't take away. A peace opposition can't take away. A peace persecution can't take away. A peace cancer can't take away. A peace, a deep-seated peace that this world knows not of. And because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given us. That's a passage of Scripture for those that are justified by faith. If you're not, it doesn't apply to you. Your suffering just admits to suffering. Our suffering produces character, perseverance, and hope, and a peace that this world cannot take. Change of attitude. Change your attitude concerning your own sufferings. Change your focus about your own sufferings. And the reality is, for a lot of people, they're really not suffering. They're just irritated and annoyed. And they're really angry about a lot of things. They're annoyed at the bad choices that they've made in their life. And they like to blame God. Or they just won't come to a place of acceptance. There's resistance to the acceptance of the peace that God can give. So they try to find peace in the world, or in a bottle, or in a drug. There's a void in their soul that nothing of this world can fill, because it's supernatural and it's of God. Would you dare to say this? I don't know if I could. If my sufferings produce a deeper Christ-likeness in me, may I suffer. That's all your life, really. Everything about who you are. Physical, emotional, financial, even your spiritual life, all of who you are. If my sufferings produce a deeper Christ-likeness in me, may I suffer. Whew, that's tough. You know, one of the hardest ones for me that I realize when I think of suffering, you know what I think of? I think of the dentist. Anybody? Other people think of other things, but I think of the dentist. That's probably the most, and probably because it's been fairly recent and I had a little cap on my tooth, and so you know how all that goes, right? They got to get in there with the they're drilling it out for you, and then the scraping, right, picking and prodding and all that kind of stuff. And that, and you know, you can smell it. That's my tooth that they're burning. Ow, 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 ow. I don't like going to the dentist. I hate going over there. I hate it. But when I go over there, oh, Pastor. Would you pray for my family? They're suffering in Cuba. Would you pray for my family? Pastor, thank you so much. Can tell me about what's going on at the daycare. I was thinking about bringing my child. When are your services, Pastor? When are your services? Suffering. I hate going to the dentist. I look forward to going. Isn't that crazy? That's absolutely insane. But that's absolutely God. If we don't begin to understand that the Lord will work in and through our failures, that the Lord will work in and through our sufferings, that we can overcome our frustrations, if we don't begin to understand that God is with us in the midst of all of that, we'll begin to believe that God will just leave us there in them. And that's not our God. He'll be with you in the circumstance. Scripture's pretty clear too. You say, give thanks for all your circumstances. No. Give thanks in all your circumstances. What you say comes back to you. Life is an echo. Test for echo, right? I can do this. I can make it happen. I can overcome. I'm victorious. I can get through this. God is with me. I'm a warrior for Christ. I am more than a conqueror. You can tell yourself all of those things, or you can tell yourself pain and fear and agony and regret. Haven't you ever heard of those people that are kind of, maybe it's not anybody in here, I'm sure. They just see the negative side of everything. It's kind of like Melinda and I, we have this little thing that's called lock and load. It's like, k-k-k. So I'll share with her. I say, you know, I was thinking about something, and she'll just go, because she wants to shoot it down. Right, exactly. Right, so it's those kind of people say, hey, why don't you come check out my brand new red Ferrari? It's awesome. Come check it out. Oh, red cars get the most tickets. Oh, great. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Hey, how about my new golf hat? You like my new golf hat? Makes your ears look big. Okay, all right, right. Want to check out my new refrigerator? Come check out my new... Well, I could have got that for you cheaper, you know. Just the negative side of everything. Always falling on the dark side, right? All the time. I don't know why. I love my church. Oh, you don't need church to have God. Walking in the dark. Listen, change your words, change your world. There's a slide in there somewhere, Miss Jody. Change your words, change your world. We have wonderful example of people all around us, people right here in this sanctuary, you don't have to look very far, that have pushed through sufferings, that exemplify faith and perseverance, exemplify hope. And they're stronger because of it. Their faith has deepened because of it. And if you don't know, many you should. You should know the Foleys. You should know Brenda. You should know Norvi and Isaac. You should know the Wilson family. You should know these people. Why? Because they are testimonies about God's perseverance in their lives in the midst of struggle, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of suffering. And God still reigns victorious, and they still come here to church to honor and worship and praise the Lord. What more do you need? What kind of testimony are you looking for? There's somebody right there that will tell you now. God is with me now. Change your words, you change your world. You got a story too that's uniquely yours. You have a story that no one else has. There's no one else like you on the planet. God has seen to it. You have a very unique story to share and to tell. Tragedy and triumph, loss and victory, birth and death. Life is an experience. Test for echo. What you put out, gonna come back. There are times in your life when your body's gonna ache in pain. You keep trusting the Lord. There's gonna be times when you're struggling with grief. You keep trusting the Lord. There's going to be times when you're on the verge of tears. You don't understand what's happening or which way to go. You keep trusting in the Lord. Every part of you is going to want to give up, but you keep trusting in the Lord. What? I got to go to the dentist again? You be the tremendous example. You be the wonderful victor. You be the wonderful witness. You learn a lot from the way people speak about Jesus. You learn a lot about people's faith and the way they speak into the circumstances that they're going through. We rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And these are things worn by the soul. This is what God is interested in you, your soul. You don't care that you got gray hair and fat thighs. You don't care what color car you're driving. I promise you, he really doesn't. But he does care about the condition of your soul and the things that you're focusing on and the things that you're spewing into the world. As someone who has faith. If you're not someone who has faith, continue taking your nap. This doesn't apply to you. This is what God is interested in for those who would call themselves believers, justified by faith. Change your words, you change the world. And I am convinced that people are not interested in your religion. They are not interested in your religion whatsoever. But they are interested in what brings you peace. They are interested in what gives you strength in circumstance. People are interested in how would you define success in your life? Peace in the midst of a struggle. People aren't interested in your religion, but they would be interested in you and the testimony and the witness that you have that bears up to the glory of God. This is God's plan. This is God's idea. That's exactly what he's trying to do. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled him through his death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? How much more now does God love you that you're not his enemy, that you are his friend, that you are justified, that he's given you a piece of himself and sealed you and works in you and works through you? Not only this is so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So here's your next one, pace. We're going to have to keep a pace. We're going to have to keep on keeping on. See, it's very important that you understand this. This is not a name it, claim it kind of message. I don't preach messages like this. It's not a name it, claim it message, right? This is more along the lines of believe it, receive it. Message. Believe that God is with you. Receive the peace that he has for you. If you've asked for wisdom, exactly when do you think you're going to get it? How about it's given? If you've asked for forgiveness, when do you think it's given? It's given. You're living in the now. We start to get these preconceived notions of God as something that he's not. That it's somewhere out there in the future, or all the benefits are after life and when I die. And God says now. Now, I give you my Holy Spirit now. That you could have a peace that this world knows not of. That you might be able to walk in the midst of the chaotic world. They might crucify you, but remember, they crucified me first. This is not about a method. This is not about programs. This is about walking in the Spirit of God. This is about walking and keeping pace with the Holy Spirit of God that is in your life. Keeping pace and keeping step, moment by moment by moment by moment, as if your whole life was a ministry unto God, which it is. Keeping pace with the Holy Spirit of God. We were lost and helpless. He found us and he empowered us. And he pardoned us. He broke the chains that Adam had placed around us. Jesus did what Adam could not. Jesus done set us free. We had bad habits. We had self-destructive habits. We had sin-centered habits. We had self-centered habits. We must learn to change our habits. Here's your next one. Change your habits. Change your life. See, some folks have real bad habits. Listen, this will help you keep pace. Some people have some real bad habits inconsistent with the belief that they profess. And many of our habits are not really things we do. I'll just pick on the things that we say. Things that we say, all the negativity, all the darkness. I had to learn how to cut out bad language. I had to learn how to come out of the military and not drop the F-bomb every other word or the GD bomb every other word, right? I had to learn, had to train, because I had a habit, and it was a habit. And you can hear people that have a habit. Just as simply in the words that they would speak. Speaking words of edification or encouragement. Speaking words of fear or darkness. Some words, really, I began to understand they just showed how unintelligent I was or how immature I was. Because bad habits yield bad results. A bad tree yields bad fruit. And so, a helpful hint, if you're trying to eliminate bad habits, you're doing it wrong. If you're trying to eliminate bad habits, you're doing it wrong. What you need to do is introduce good habits. The bad habits will take care of themselves. Just introduce good habits. Introduce some good things into your life, and all the bad stuff kind of fades away. See, as a preacher, I would say, you know, Wednesday night's probably a pretty good habit to kind of get into because you study the Bible. That's a good habit to get into. Sunday school at 9 o'clock before we even start service. That's a good habit to understand deeper scripture. Or just, you know, we soap the passage. I ask you to soap the passage every week that I'm going to preach on. We soap the passage together every Thursday virtually. You don't even have to get out of your house or take off your pajamas. You don't have to change or nothing. You just got to log in for an hour, read some scripture, we pray together, introduce some good habits into your life. How about start praying with your family out loud? Let your spouse hear them. Hear you pray for them. Let your kids hear you pray for them. How about doing new things? The old things go away. Start with the words of hope and forgiveness and peace. And listen, you're going to stumble. Right? From time to time, yeah, right? Stumble. But that's okay. Keep trying. Keep going after it, right? Keep walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and what I'm describing to you, listen, these are actions of a disciple. These are not just the actions of somebody who says, well, I believe in God. Yeah, but do you believe God? See, even the demons know there's a God. What does that have to do? These are the actions of a disciple, someone who follows after Christ with all they got, every part of who they are. They start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They start speaking the words of affirmation. They speak words of a disciple. These aren't just words for pastors to speak. These are words for the church body to speak to one another and then to engage an outside world that does not know the peace that you have. These are the words and the actions of a disciple of God, those that have placed their faith and trust in God. And see, I'm not placing my trust in a plan. I'm not even placing my trust in a program or placing my trust in people. Listen, I don't even trust myself all the time. I'm trusting in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit of God that fills my life. He will lead. He will guide. He will inspire. He will give me opportunity. He will place me in places that I know are experiences for my life. Whether they be victorious or in the midst of suffering, God is with me, just like He's with you. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to just gather here together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, bonded together in unity as the body of Christ. Thank you for the new members, Father. Continue to bless them. Father, thank you for shared communion together today as a body of believers. Father, might you continue to unite us that we would bring you honor and glory. Continue to work within us individually, Father. There are things that are rough about us. We need to smooth it out, Father, and we trust that your Holy Spirit will work within us. Bring those things to mind, Father, even habits that we need to change, words that we need to change, directions that we need to go. Empower us and infill us, Father. And we would sing your praises because we know all our life is given over to you to bring you glory. We come before you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you guys.
Can you hear me? Yep. If the men would prepare themselves. I got to say this, Pastor. Your message this morning as you were speaking reminded me of Al Pacino in Game of Inches What an incredible message. Thank you. I just want to read one verse one more time. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Our God and Father, thank you for this message this morning, this encouragement. Thank you for it. We pray that you'd let it sit in our hearts and grow in our minds. Lord, we ask that you take our offerings this morning just to multiply your work, Lord. Thank you for blessing us in every way, and we just want to return a little bit back to you. We ask that you take it, multiply it, use it for your work around the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.